Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Good. It's just whether we want to enable and allow you to make it good. But what really big decisions? What's the biggest decision, the most important decision you've made in your life? Some of us would probably rate what we're going to actually watch on TV tonight. It's probably up there. It's like really important, whether it's The Block or The Bachelor or maybe some of that pure investigative journalism like Sunday night, sarcasm. Or maybe for some of us who are the real foodies, it's the food we're going to eat. That's a really big decision. Really, it seems now I've got you thinking about food. I've lost you. Come back. But it's just interesting, you know, like the downfall of mankind revolved around food and apple, and it still continues to be a downfall for many of us. But research has found really that as good. Many as 226.7, I don't know where the 0.7 came from, but decisions per day on food alone. Now, I don't know if you can relate to any of these really slides that are about to come up, but these are just some things I found around food. So who likes to share their food when you go out to a restaurant? Who likes to actually... Do you know what? I'm into sharing. So everyone else here is going, nah, I order. You can have menu envy. It's your fault. You ordered the wrong thing. Next one. Vegetarians. Stop eating my food's food. You get that? No offense to all the vegetarians out there. Do you need a bit longer to get that? No, you got it. Good. Next one. Recommendation on how you cut carbs. Next one. Who agrees? That's what we need. We need something that'll just down. Good work, Brett. Put your hand down and press the next button, mate. Thank you. Anyone have that problem? No one wants to admit it. Okay, moving right along. There you go. You've got to have the same amount of chocolate in both hands. Just there's a point there. All right, next one. We don't want to live with regret, do we? Life's too short. You with me? All right, next one. So true. So true. Fridge is so important in a home. Next one. You ever thought about that? Make it harder for yourself. Take the light globe out in the room and the fridge. Make it that little bit harder. Right, next one. Go to the fridge, you look, and you know there's nothing there. You go away for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you go back and thinking somehow magically stuff's just going to appear, going, I'm sure something's just arrived here that wasn't there before. Next one. Oh, no, don't worry about that one. All right. Thank you. But food is a big part of our lives, and sometimes we feel as though that's a big decision we've got to make. You know, sometimes when we're younger, it's more about, you know, a big decision is what sport am I going to play, or, you know, what subjects am I going to choose that will hopefully lead me to the career or job or life that I think I might want to have. You know, and then there's that whole thing about, you know, big decision, big choice is about career. What is my job going to be? You know, I made some poor decisions in year 11 and 12, which led me to getting still a good mark in year 12. And for me, it was like not enough to get into physio, which is what I really wanted when I was 13. And I was a cricketer bowling. I did something to my back on the cricket field where I couldn't walk. They had to carry me off, put me in hospital. And I couldn't walk for 3 days. And it was a physio that got me back up on my feet and able to play sport again. So I loved her. She was amazing. I just went, wow, if you can help people get back into sport, as much as I love sport, then that's what I want to do. I want to help people, and that's what I wanted to do. But I made some wrong decisions about life in year 11 and 12, didn't get the score I needed, so made a good decision to go back and repeat year 12 to get the marks I needed to get into physio, which I did that, but in South Australia, missed out by 1% in getting into physio. So as you can imagine, I was pretty happy with God. And what do you do when you're angry with God? You go to Bible college. So I went to Jesus school and I studied about God with a real attitude, another story. But and then it was that in that year, that on the February the 7th, 1990, that I met Nat, my wife-to-be. And so all these so-called wrong, dumb decisions that when we give them to God, He can turn it around, take our mess, turn it into a message and put us in the right direction. And when it came to actually getting a job as a physio, I wanted to move from Adelaide. I moved back to finish my studies in Adelaide, so to move back to Melbourne so I could marry Nat I needed a job. And so at the Dandenong Hospital, there was 42 candidates, first year grads as well as honours students. I'm a guy that didn't have an academic transcript rock up to the hospital for interviews and don't even know if I've really passed the course or not. That's another story. I did. And kind of like did the interview and just wondering, how is this going to work? But God miraculously opened a door and I got the role as a physio at the Dandenong Hospital. I was later told the only reason I got the job is because I wore a size 22 shirt, but that's another story altogether. More to do with my physio skills. But no, career and what we're going to do with our life, that's a big decision. I'm not going to argue that one. Maybe it's investments. What about, you know, whether it's buying a home or a unit or whether we're going to travel? And then there's a big one about life partner is, you know, who am I going to spend, who want to spend the rest of my life with? And now, I was always taught that stop looking for the right person, become the right person, keep loving Jesus with your whole heart, and he's going to work that out. And but by the grace of God, I met Nat, and as Dr. Zeus puts it well, we're all a little weird, and life is a little weird. And when we find someone whose weirdness is compatible with ours, we join up with them and fall into mutually satisfying weirdness and call it love. You like that? I like Dr. Zeus. You know, so, you know, then we you know, get married, and then we kind of like trying to work out the whole home thing and what goes in what drawer and work all that out. And then we kind of work out, well, maybe it's time if we get a pet. If we don't kill the pet, then maybe we're responsible enough to have kids. So, you know, kind of like, it's my theory is if you watch couples and they get a pet, you go, oh, I wonder if they're thinking about having kids. That's my theory on it. But, you know, I guess when it comes to making decisions in our house, it's fair to say I'm the boss. That's very, very clear. Nat knows that full well. Just that Nat's the only one that makes decisions in our home. Wow, okay. Quoting Woody Allen on that one. But so there are big decisions that we face in life. But can I just briefly this morning propose to you that there is one decision even bigger than all of those combined, if we put them all together, a decision that has greater consequence for your life now, long to the future, with longer lasting consequences. It's a decision of the magnitude that can massively impact and affect your relationships, your worldview, your attitudes, your actions, use of time, resource, finance. It can affect your health, it can affect your mental health. Basically, what I'm saying is it's a decision of such magnitude that it can affect every area of your life. That question is for you this morning is, do you know where you will spend eternity? Do you know? Have you ever thought about it? Is it something you've ever pondered? I mean, and if you believe or have a belief system, you know, I ask you, what is that belief system and why do you have that belief system? And maybe some of us have never thought about this particular question, and maybe this is not where you're at today, but I believe at some point in our lives, because the Bible tells us that God's put eternity in the hearts of all of us. So there's something within inside of us that has this aching desire, this kind of underlying thought or drive. There has to be more. There has to be more than what I experience or what I see or what I feel or taste. There's got to be more to life than that. And that's that ache that's within inside of us that can only be met and satisfied by one thing. And I'll come to that in a moment. And so if you haven't contemplated that, there may be a time in your life where circumstance brings you to that point, or maybe you're confronted with your mortality where you're confronted with that thought of where will I spend eternity. But that's my question for you this morning. Because if I use the Bible as my frame of reference for a minute, Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then we will face judgment. So according to the Bible, life is no dress rehearsal. It's not just a warm-up. It's not a practice run for us to try and get right so we can get promoted to have another effort. We have one life to live, and then we'll have to stand before God and be accountable for the life and the decisions that we make here on earth. And the thing that really spins me out about the whole God thing is that throughout life we have this bewildering, mysterious, and complex ability to make decisions for ourselves. We have this simple free will, if you call it, but just the ability to make choices and decisions, and God created us that way. See, I believe that choice, not chance, determines our destiny. It's the decisions that we make will determine where we'll end up in life. Every decision has a consequence. We know that. We teach that to our kids over and over. We know that if we speed, we're going to get a fine, potentially, if we get caught. If we do a crime, we're going to actually have to pay the penalty for that crime. You know, I wrote a book that was used throughout schools, high schools around Australia, and it was entitled DVD, Decisions, Values, Destiny. We all hear a lot about choices are important, decisions are important. They are, because they determine where our life trajectory is going to go. But what is often not talked about is the value system underneath those decisions and choices of why we make the decisions we do. So if our decisions and choices are so important, then it's important to know what our value system, our belief system that is driving, guiding, leading us into the decisions that we make. Does that make sense? You with me? So, you know what? I reckon it's incredibly tough times for our young people, but also for adults and for parents parenting young people. And there's many reasons for that, but I think one of the bigger reasons why it's a real challenge for young people today is that there's no longer any filters for the information that they have access to. You see, I mean, anyone actually remember those things called libraries? Do you remember when you used to go to the library to get a book? And for some of you, just try to avoid the library at all costs, like me, and I was always too noisy and whatever in the library. But the idea of a library was that a school or an organisation would choose books to go in the library, right? So there's a filter. And then you would go into your area, you'd pick a book that you think was appropriate for the assignment or reading or whatever, you'd take it to the counter to check out, and there would be a person behind the desk, and in some ways, I remember in primary school, I was told I wasn't allowed to have a certain book because it was not, I'm not old enough, wasn't in the right grades to get that book yet. So there was another filter, and then I'd take it home. And if you have a Messiah complex, we need to talk about that later. There's nobody in this room who is perfect. You know, like, even if we've done very, very little in our lives, and we've done this end of the line, or maybe we've done half-half, or maybe you go, Phil, you have no idea what I've done with my life. I'm just, mate, I don't even want to talk about it. I just want to leave it behind me. I just don't even, I'm like, actually, way down this hill. I'm like, just no good. But the reality is, as Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or God's perfect standing. So it doesn't matter where you are. Everyone who has had a mother and been born, that's you, me, we stand on this line with a gap between where we are and where God is. And the gap where we are and where God is, that gap is called sin. It's the wrongs that you and I have done. It's those things that are offensive to God because He is perfect, holy and just, and He cannot and will not tolerate sin. Now that sounds pretty heavy. And so just as I said, any decision we make has a consequence. So when we sin, when we make a decision that's offensive to God, what is the punishment, the penalty for that? Well, if I speed, I'm going to get a fine. If I do a break and enter, I'm going to get time. Whatever it is, there is a penalty. So what is the penalty? What is the price for me standing here and God's over there and sin's in between us? Well, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the penalty for, or the price, is death. Not just physical death, and that's how death entered the world, was in when the first sin was committed, the original sin in the garden. Death entered creation, which is not what God intended, and relationship with God was broken. And so now we're in this position where we're in broken relationship with God because our sin separates us from Him. And the price, the penalty, is not just physical, but potentially eternal death, eternal separation from God. That's incredibly heavy, but we've got a little insight here. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's the solution? How do I bridge the gap? Just T-shirt. Mind the gap. If you don't remember anything else, mind the gap. If you ever go to London, you're on the tube, you'll hear the announcer. I don't know if they still do it. Do they still do it? They still do it. Thank you. Then when you're in London and you're listening to Mind the Gap, Mind the Gap, this sermon's going to come back to your memory. See, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though we'd fallen short of God's perfect standard, And there is nothing that we can do to bridge the gap between where we are and where God is. There's not enough money. You cannot be smart enough. There's no bridge that can be built to bridge that gap. You can't be nice enough. You can't do enough good works. You can't help enough grandmas walk across the road. You can't tidy your room enough. You can't get enough promotions. You can't be nice enough. There is nothing that we can do. In fact, the Bible says the very best acts that we try to do before God are still considered as filthy rags to Him. And so you go, well, what actually is going to bridge the gap then? Another good question. It says that God loved you and me so much that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die. That Jesus Christ came and died once and for all time. So when Jesus died on the cross, so if I'm here and God is over here, Jesus came down to earth, dwelt among us, and He gave His life, and He demonstrated to you and me just how much He loves us. That much. And He took upon Himself the price. He paid the price for you and for me. So we are all responsible for the death of an innocent man, and that man was Jesus Christ. Fully man, fully God. And He dies on the cross and He takes upon Himself the sin and the sickness and the pain and suffering of the world upon Himself in that moment, spiritually speaking. And He pays the price and He dies so that the ultimate sacrifice is made. You see, when God looks at us here on earth, He looks at us and He's not looking at the cars, the house, the cash. He's looking at us. And He's looking at our heart. And he's wondering, what have you done with this gift that I have given you? He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for money. He's not looking for intellect. He's looking for a heart that is open to Him and saying, you know what? I need forgiveness. I fall short. I need what Jesus did to get me back into right relationship with God so that I can live life to the full on earth, but the assurance and the hope of eternal life. So God's not looking at the outward. He's looking at our heart. The heart of the matter is the human heart. But what do I have to do? Very little, because the debt's been paid for in full. It's an immense gift of grace, favor and kindness that you and I do not deserve. When Jesus died, we have to accept that what He did upon the cross is enough, that all of my wrongs, I am forgiven through what Jesus did through the shedding of His blood on the cross, and the bridge has been built between me and God, and I can come into right relationship with God. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So believe in your heart that Jesus is the one, only one that can bridge the gap between where we are and where God is for life here on earth to be the full and the assurance of eternal life, and confess with our mouth and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of my last scriptures this morning is Revelation 3:20. It says, Jesus stands at a door. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That there is this loving, caring God that is knocking on the door of all of our hearts. And some of us have opened out the door of our heart because there's a door handle only on the inside for us. And He's standing with the knocker on the outside. And it's only up to us whether we want to open the door from the inside and let Jesus come in. And He's a loving, caring God. Yes, He is Lord, He is Savior, but He also says that, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I want to walk with you daily. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm not promising that it's going to be an easy life. You're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. Things are still going to happen. We live in a fallen world. We live with a world where others make decisions that are not great. We continue to make dumb decisions. But the reality is God says, you know what? In spite of all of that, I will still love you unconditionally and I'll stick by you and you will never be on your own. I just love this idea that God loves us so much. I was reminded of this verse this morning, just added it to my notes, Titus 3, verse 4 and 7, book in the New Testament. Have a listen to this. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. And he demonstrated this by giving his one and only son to bridge the gap from wherever you may be on this continuum to where he is. You don't have to live separated from God anymore. You don't have to have God distant from your life. He wants to be, and is probably more involved in your world right now than what you probably realize. Because he's going, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Will you open your life to me? So the most important decision is not what you're going to have for dinner. It's not what career you're going to pursue or what you're going to buy. Who's going to be your life partner? All those things are important, and God wants to actually guide and lead us through those big decisions. But the decision that will impact our lives the greatest in this lifetime and determine our eternal destiny is, what will you do with the gift of salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ? What will you do with the gift of salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ? Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend? Man, that sounds heavy. But what I've just shared this morning is good news. Because you don't have to live with uncertainty. You don't have to walk day by day through this life, which can be so messy, and we're all a bit fractured and a bit broken. None of us, as I said, are perfect. We're all messed up. Hang around me for 5 minutes, you'll understand how messed up I is. But I'm so grateful for God's grace and mercy in my life. That's good news, people. You don't have to be uncertain about that. You can have an assurance, a confidence. I know that if I was to drop dead right now, I'm okay with that. I totally am. Don't want it to happen. There's too much exciting stuff going on. But like, I'm okay because I have this confidence, not through anything I've done, because I understand the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, his son. It's all about him. If you don't have that assurance, but don't just think salvation's a ticket to get into heaven. That's living way beneath what God's got planned for your life. He's got so much more for you. And if you think you're living a good life now, you should get on board. Because the God I believe in is so immensely huge and big and creative and smart and powerful that your world, no offense, which is really small in comparison to a massive God, get on board and into his sphere and understand how he sees life and the world can seriously stretch and expand you bigger than you ever thought possible in your own natural gifts and strengths. There's no doubt I've found that in my life. I found myself in positions and places where I just go, I have no idea how I got here. When you stand in front this year, God blessed me with the opportunity to go and stand at what is probably the biggest music festival in the state. I go, how the heck did I end up standing on this stage doing this? This is ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that being up here holding the microphone is what it's all about. Because we've got guys like Ethan who are incredibly smart, and he's going to revolutionize whatever sphere of work. He's sitting over there, I pointed that way, but you. Going to revolutionize the area of work that he goes into, because that kid is so incredibly smart. And you stay on board the God thing, Ethan, and I'm telling you, God will open your mind and create avenues and open doors for you that other people just go, oh my gosh, how's that guy, like, why is he doing that? So it's not just all about, this is of that part of God's plan. So where will you spend eternity? It's determined by what you do, the choice you make here on earth with what Jesus Christ did. You can't argue with me whether Jesus did or not. That's fact. It's proven fact. Jesus Christ lived. So it's up to you to decide on what you're going to do with that. Because when we all stand before God, we're appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. We're going to be accountable for the decision we make with what we did with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you for each and every person in this room. I thank you that today, Father, that you just love us so immensely, so unconditionally. Father, for those that have opened the door of our heart to you, we've experienced that love. And you love us. For those in this room that haven't opened their heart to you yet, Lord God, you still love them just the way they are. You love them unconditionally. You know what they've done, know what they've seen and been involved in, you know what they've said, and you still love us Nothing can separate us from your love. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would just take control of this time. That every thought would just be focused on and centered on what do we do with the salvation gift that can only come through Jesus Christ. So right now, no one's looking around, heads are bowed, we're just going to close the service. But this morning, I know this message is for somebody. And as I said, if it's not for you today, it's going to be one day. But right now, for the maybe the one, two, or it could be more, can you just go, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't have my own personal relationship with God. I know there's a gap between where I am. I'm not perfect, so there's a gap. There are things that I've done wrong that are separating me from God, but I want a relationship with God. I want my own personal relationship with God. So what I'm about to ask you, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to become a religious freak. I'm not asking you to become a religious person. In fact, I'm asking you to be introduced to my best friend, Jesus Christ. And I say introduced because it's a relationship. And from this day on, you can begin to develop and form your own relationship. And I encourage you to do that in community somewhere. Love to have you here, but that needs to be somewhere where you grow and begin to understand the enormity and the brilliance and the wonder and just the love and the peace that makes God who He is. So today, as we're sitting here, and maybe it's been a long time since you stopped, but right now as you have stopped, I'm going to ask right now that you would ask yourself an honest question. Do you hear the knocking? Do you hear the knock on your heart right now? If you've opened your heart to Jesus before, I just need you to pray with me right now for people in this room. Today, the biggest, most important decision you can ever make with your life is to open the door of your heart and life and ask Jesus Christ to come in. It's a decision I can guarantee you'll never regret, because God is God. If that's you today, you say, yes, Phil, I want to acknowledge that Jesus dying on the cross bridged the gap. I want to open the door of my heart. I want to let Jesus Christ in. I want to give my life to God and start living His way, which is the best way. If that's you this morning, no one's looking around, can I just ask you, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you after this service. Is there anyone here? Thank you. Yeah, God bless you. Is there anybody else this morning? Say, Phil, that's me. I know God's knocking on hearts in this place this morning. Biggest decision you could ever make with your life. Is there anybody else today? Just raise your hand so I can see. I'd love to pray with you after this service. Best decision. You're thinking to yourself, if you ask one more time, I'll put my hand up, I'm asking one more time. Is that you today? Let's go, Phil. You may not get it all, but there's something about these Bible verses. It's not about what I'm saying. It's the reality of Scripture being real and the way to truth, life, life everlasting. Is there anybody else? Last time. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're just going to pray together. A prayer for those that raise their hand, or maybe you wanted to raise your hand but you didn't this morning. That's okay. I just encourage everybody just to repeat this prayer after me together if we could. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I know I've done wrong. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again on the third day. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sin. Come and be Lord of my life. Come and be my best friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message.
For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.